most of the chagim, the Yom Tovim that we have, it's pretty easy to know what the avodah of that chag is. What we're supposed to do. The Shalosh Regalim, each one is tied to a particular event. Pesach is tied to Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have a whole Seder, whatever. Cheirus is the theme, Zman Cheiruseinu. Shavuos is tied to Matan Torah. Sukkos is again tied to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the particular benevolence of the Rabbanu Shalom to us in the Midbar. And we focus upon the fact of the Rabbanu Shalom's protective shelter, as symbolized by the Sukkah, as symbolized by the 40 years in the Midbar. But we know what each Chag is about. Yom Kippur, we know what it's about too. So, right, the essence is tshuva, so tshuva, so vidui is the essence of the tefillah. 10 times we do vidui on Yom Kippur, and we do tshuva. I was 21 years old before I really came to grips, started to come to grips with Rosh Hashanah. What is the avodah of Rosh Hashanah? What's supposed to happen on Rosh Hashanah? Come to shul, we daven, we go. But what's supposed to happen on Rosh Hashanah? And as I said, I don't recall it being broached in yeshiva. I don't recall thinking about it myself. Until I showed up, and it was Elul, in Tov Shin Lamed Beis. And of course, actually, the Rosh Shiva of Chofetz Chaim Yerushalayim gave a shmuz. We talked about what Rosh Hashanah was about. It was the beginning of starting to focus on what we're supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah. Now, there's one word that defines Rosh Hashanah without any doubt. Right? Melech, that's it. Melech, Malchus, that's Rosh Hashanah. Now, one might object and say, listen, it's nice that there's Malchus, but there's also Zechunas and Shofars. Also, we have the unusual fact, Musaf has a very fixed structure an entire year. Basically, we have the classic 3 opening brachas, the classic 3 closing brachas. And in the middle, we have a bracha which is called Kedusha Sayyam, right? Data v'chatono, and comes with Yalav Yavo, and if it's in Musaf, so it has with the chataino, that we can't bring the karbonas, and it delineates the karbonas hayayim, and that's Musaf. And then there's a closing bracha which ends according to the day, Kadesh HaShabbos, Rosh Shalosh Regalim, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaKippurim, etc. And the text is relatively the same with some minor changes. But that's Musaf on every day of the year, except Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, beyond, we have that those elements of Kedushas Hayom, we have the Atav HaChatano, the Chatoino, we have the Pesukei Karbonos. And there's even a debate in the Gemara where we should put them. Should we put it in the 3rd bracha, at the Kodesh? Should we put it in Malchus? The Achro, Psak, as we put it in Malchus. Now, the first part, we have the Kedushas Hayom. Then we go off to Malchus. And it's very marked in our tefillah, because before we start Malchus, there's a special tefillah that the Chazan says, Ayino and Pifios, before he starts Malchus. And we open up the Aron Kodesh, our special Ritzui, that we recite before the Malchi. So, and then we start the Malchias, we start Aleinu, and we have Malchias, Achrenus, and Shofars. So, it's obvious, the structure is a different structure than every Shofar. So there are 3 parts. Besides the Kedushas Hayom, there's Malchias, Achrenus, and Shofars. So why do I tell you that there is one theme to Rosh Hashanah's Malchus, Melech? The answer is that all the themes of Malchus, Zechonis, and Shofars are elements of Malchus. No, there is nothing else on Rosh Hashanah, there is Malchus. As I mentioned in the past, about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago now, the Rebbeinu Shalom sent me a phenomenal insight. And one that I would hope one day that all the Klal Yisrael is going to know. We recite 3 times a day the Tefillah of Aleinu. What is Aleinu? Aleinu is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And I'll show you exactly. In Rashi and Chumash writes that, what's the pshat in this pasuk? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. That now we recognize the Rabbeinu Shalom as Melech, and Hashem Echad, ultimately, the whole world will recognize as Malchus. The Rosh Hashulchan writes that this is, besides all the fancy kavanas about what the meaning of the Shemus are, but this is Poshup Pshat in the Posik, what we're supposed to have in mind when we say the Posik every day. And Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky wrote, to him it's Poshut, that this is what you're supposed to think. He was even a little amazed that he didn't notice it in the Poskim, but it happens to be it is in the Rosh Hashulchan. So that's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, means we recognize him, and Hashem Echad, the whole world will recognize him. That's Aleinu. The first half of Aleinu, until Alkin the Kaveh, is that we recognize the Ranach, the Karim Mishtachal, the name Melech Malchem Lochem, Kodesh Moshun, the Deshalayim, Yehizadorats. That's our recognition of HaKadosh Baruch. The second half of Aleinu, Alkin the Kaveh, Niros Meherubis, L'sakin Oilam Malchus Shachai, V'chol B'nei Vosar, Yikru B'shmechel. That's Hashem Echad. Except that, and then at the end of Malchus, the final aspect of Malchus is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Aleinu was the long form, and Shema Yisrael is the short form. But it's bidiyuk; it's exactly the same thing. Malchus begins with Shema Yisrael, and it ends with Shema Yisrael. But everything in Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. What Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? So we learn in Masechet Brachos, the first parasha is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, the Malchus. The second is Ol Mitzvahs, and the third parasha is Parshas Tzitzis. Malchus is the recognition that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. I'm a guest here. I'm not in my own house. Someone's in charge, and it's not me. And you go to your house, you can take certain liberties in your house that you wouldn't take elsewhere, because it's your house. In someone else's house, you wouldn't dream of doing it. But in your house, it's your house. So, why not? You paid for it, you own it, you paid a mortgage every month, so it's your house. You have some rights. So, kids are gone, but if you go to someone else's house, you, certain things that you would do in your house, you wouldn't do in their house, because it's someone else's house. So the first Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is the recognition that we're in someone else's house. It's not us. That's step number one. That's the beginning. Without that, we're nowhere. If we come to that conclusion, then there are varied conclusions that follow from that. Each day of the year we stress, well, there's a melech. To govern is by nature to enact laws and to enforce laws. That's the very nature of governance. That's every government in the world, whether we think that they are wise and just or unwise and unjust. But every government in the world has laws and enforces its laws. So that can be there for a whole year. We come to Vayom Shemaya Tishmu, all mitzvahs. If there's a king and it's his house, there's something that he wants here. On Rosh Hashanah, we focus on one aspect of it, and that is Melech B'Mishpat Yamid Oretz. The king oversees the law. So, Ata Zoycha Ma'asei Odom. They have a good computer system in Shemayim. You know, well, we can put things in the cloud. But the server can still crash at the end of the day. And all the information in the cloud, you could lose it. You know, hopefully, you know, the commercial system is building enough redundancy that it's not going to happen too often. But you could lose it all. So, you know, we've all done some things during the year that we wish the computer system in Shemayim would crash, you know. But they have a system that's in the cloud that doesn't crash. So they have everything. So, Ata Zoycha Ma'asei Odom. But what do we ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? We ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as you turn to react to the things that we've done in this world, the Rebbe Shalom doesn't always have to react. But on Rosh Hashanah, when there's a Yom HaDin, he's reacting to that which we've done in this world. So we asked the Rabbeinu Shalom, did he react in kindly fashion towards us? Vayiskar Elokim Asnayach. You can react in all types of ways. You can react in kindly fashion to him. So we beseech the Rabbeinu Shalom to react in kindly fashion. Come back to this. Shayfers, what is Shayfers? What's the text of Shayfers? Ato Negleisa Banan Kvaidecha. Right? How the Rabbeinu Shalom revealed himself at Har Sinai. What does this have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Such verse. Rashi in Chumash writes, "Yadata Hayoyim Vashivois in Eluva Vechel, Yashem Hu Elokim Vashamayim Imal Valoros Mitoch Haseinoid." The revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so powerful at Har Sinai that we understood, we perceived that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the one that controls the heavens and the earth. There is Einoid Muvado. That's it. That's what Rashi says. Bashamayim Imal Valoros Mitochos Einoid. That was abundantly clear. Began b'chol yamin ul'olam after Har Sinai. Right? That we'll believe in Hashem, and now we will firmly, for certain reasons, the Rambam spells out, we believed in Moshe Rabbeinu too. But the affirmation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yodata ayom v'shevusa l'bavecha, reached its quintessential essential state at Har Sinai. So that was the revelation of the Melech. We perceived, we interacted with the Melech in the most intense fashion. What are the psukim of Shayfers? The psukim of Shayfers are the psukim of the Kailas that were heard by the Har Sinai. Why? Because the Shayfers threw us Melech Bo. As the herald trumpets the arrival of the king, the Shayfer was, Rabbeinu Shalom's coming. It was powerful. The Rabbeinu Shalom Shechina is coming. So that's also Malchus. So everything about Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. There's different aspects of Malchus. There are different perceptions of the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's an intellectual perception of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And then there's the emotionally to feel connected to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Usually in life, the intellect is far ahead of the emotions. There are things that we believe to be true, or quite confident that they're true, but emotionally we didn't catch up yet. It's not that the feelings are so visceral that they're powerful, that they have a powerful emotional tug. There's a very interesting exchange in this regard. After Yaakov Avinu dies, so Yosef's brothers are concerned that perhaps Yosef is going to follow the Shita, the philosophy of his uncle Esav. Yikrevu Yimei Evel Avi. Once my father dies, then it's time to settle accounts. As long as he was alive, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to wipe his children off the face of the earth. But now that my father's no longer here to see it, well, you know, listen, they did a pretty dastardly thing. You know, to take a brother and sell him into slavery is not exactly a way to win friends. So if Yosef would seek vengeance, it would not be surprising. And there were concerns, and I told them of Yichotziva, the whole story, Yaakov Avinu dictated how we should act. And then they called him Hinero L'chol Avodim. So he tells them the following. First he says, Asachas Elokim Anochi. And then he says, Atem Chashavtem Alay Ro, Elokim Chashov L'Toivo. Manaso, L'Hachayo, Kayoim Azel, L'Hachayo Yisam Rov. That you had bad intentions, but the Rabbeinu Shalom brought forth good from it, and now I'm in a position to sustain all of us. So Rashi says, that what did he say, Asachas Elokim Anochi? So Yosef said, do you actually believe that I have the ability to do anything? Everything only the Rabbeinu Shalom could do in this world. Right? It's a very elementary animam. And then to top it off, he says, well, what's the next pasuk? Atem chashavtem alai ro'a v'alokim chashov l'toivo. So Rashi says, he's proving to them his point. He says, 10 of you conspired against me with no obstacle in your way. There was nobody to help me, to assist me. And you should have succeeded. And yet, not only didn't you succeed, but by the very act that you did, you made me the second most powerful man in the world. Mitzrayim was the superpower of the day. And after the king, I'm the most powerful man in Egypt. I am the second most powerful man in the world. And how did this come about? Only because you sold me to Mitzrayim, or sold me as a slave. If you hadn't done it, then I never would be in this position. So that's 10 people plotting against one. So for one to plot against 10, do you think, what are the odds that I will succeed? You could quibble, whatever, for varied reasons. He was a king, he was this, but that's what he told them. The Shaila is a very simple Shaila. They need a proof. They were great tzaddikim. They need a proof in animam that nothing happens in this world without the Rabbeinu Shalom. But the answer is, we know things in different ways. Intellectually, we know things. The question is, in an emotional sense, there are endless levels of integration. And he told them that, gave them a reason that emotionally they could integrate this idea to a deeper extent within their personalities. He says, look at the most critical moment, the most critical decision that you made in your life. Right? It's one of the greatest, I don't know, up or down, bad or good, but great in the sense of the significance of its impact, one of the greatest decisions that was made. Certainly the greatest decision that they ever made in their life. They never sat and made a decision with as consequences as grave as at that moment. So this is a very crucial moment in their life. And a very poignant and wrenching moment in their life. And he brought them back, think of it, of that moment, of that critical moment in your life. What you did and what came forth from it and what does it show you? And in their sense of poignancy of that moment, of that weighty and impactful moment, they would come to realize a different level of emotional connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. So we can raise ourselves, we can elevate ourselves in Amunah. So it's not only an intellectual question, but it's a question of the emotional impact which takes place. Right, the Ramban even points this out. The Ramban in Chumash Dvarim tells us that we have a mitzvah to remember Maimed Har Sinai. The Ramban says part of the mitzvah of recollecting Maimed Har Sinai is to remember how awesome the experience was, the Kodesh of Rokim de Lapidim. To relive the awe of the moment, not only what actually took place, that the Torah was given, but how the Rabbeinu Shalala made it such a moment of tremendous awe. Heavenly. Thunder, lightning. Onon kovid alaha. So we can integrate things to a different level. So the principle of Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is to connect more deeply with the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's its principle of Avodah. Talk more about it over Yontov, Be'ezus Hashem. But that's the principle of Avodah of Yontov. Now that resolves a very, very basic enigma. A very basic enigma. We find in the Shulchan Aruch, find in the Rishonim, an expression of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. What is first and foremost in the process of Tshuva? So the Rambam says, when a person does tshuva, you do vidui. And it's Mashmon the Mabit and Rav Kook Zatzal that the Maisa HaMitzvah of tshuva is the vidui. The rest is belief. The Maisa HaMitzvah is the vidui. That's the essence of the tshuva. And here we are on Rosh Hashanah. We don't even mention the word tshuva except maybe I'm mistaken somewhere along the way. Maybe there's some other place it snuck in. tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. That's about it. All right. Besides that, I don't think you can find a word of tshuva in Rosh Hashanah. There's certainly no vidui in Rosh Hashanah. Why is there no vidui? Because Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. And Yom HaDin, you don't bring up your sins. You know, if they in Shemayim want to bring them up, it's one thing. But I don't send them a dossier. Listen, Rabbeinu Shalom, please take note and put this into the Mishpat now. If they're not ready to put it into the Mishpat, I'm more than glad. Why? Because Vidui, the Dibna Magid puts it this way. Vidui is a double-edged sword. And which edge one's going to get, you have to be very careful about. Right? A guy did a crime. He puts himself in the mercy of the court. The judge had a fight with his wife this morning before he left the house. He went to eat breakfast. They burned the toast, spilled the coffee on his suit. And as he pulled up at the courthouse, the guy, you know, dented the rear end of the car. Then he walks in, and he asks for the mercy of the court, 20 years. Comes next week, right before he walks into the courthouse, he's in the coffee shop, he buys a lottery ticket, he wins $20 million. Come in, he did as much as the guy last week did, 90 days in jail. Why? Because that's his frame of mind. Right. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not as whimsical as people are, obviously. He's not whimsical at all. But there's Midas Adin and there's Midas Rachamim, so it depends which is prevailing. If it's Midas Adin, that's not the time to talk about my chaton. If it's Midas Rachamim, then I could put myself in the mercy of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, which I think is the pshat in the Slichus. The structure of the slichus is that we have the piyutim, and then we have the yud gimel midas a number of times, and after that we come to Shema Kaleinu, and after all of that we come to the vidui, which is the essence of the tshuva. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that we're not ready to say vidui at the beginning, because I don't know what Kabbalah's ponim I'm going to get. So what do we try to do? We endeavor through the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim to bring forth a state of Rachamim for ourselves. After we succeed in that, hopefully, then we're ready to say Vidui. But we don't just start off with Vidui. First, we start off with the Yud Gimel Midas. I've never fully understood in Nusach Sfard why they first do the Vidui and then the Yud Gimel Midas. Should be the other way around. But we do know there's a cloud that Achronim tell us that in the tefillahs of Yom and Aram were much more particular. There are all types of dikdukim, dikdukei tefillah, nuances in the tefillah that we're very, very careful about in Yom and Aram, and less careful about the whole year. So it could be maybe this is also part of it. That since these are Yemeidin, and Yemeidin, we have to be extra cautious. But I'm still not a hundred, as I said, I'm not yet happy with my understanding of why Nusach Svar does it. Why didn't they do it the other way? First do the Shloshes and Midas and then the Vidui? Even if I could understand the difference between a whole year and Yom and Aram, but why? Why make a difference? That I do not have an answer to that. But to me, that's the way I understand the structure of the Slichus. We wish to effectuate the Midas Harachim, and after that, then we're ready to say Vidui. But the Shaila is the following. So Vidui is the essence of tshuva, but it's not to be found, not a hint of it on Rosh Hashanah. So what do we have a Seres Yimei Tshuva? I would have repostulated it as Shmona Yimei Tshuva, the Rosh Hashanah, and then the Shmona Yimei Tshuva. But what does Rosh Hashanah have to do with tshuva? Pretty hard to figure. If you know Vidui, how are we going to fulfill mitzvah's tshuva? Where's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? So I once came to the conclusion, the Meiri quotes the Goyim. The Goyim say the following, that there's two ways to do tshuva. The Shaila is, there's Machlaikis and the Gemara, and the Shaila what remains, Lahalocho. Do we have to be Mefarat Echet? to specify where we've erred, or it's enough to say chotonu. And in the Rambam himself, there are conflicts. The Rambam says, Iker Avidu is chotonu, and elsewhere the Rambam says, Toroch lefar lachet, in Hilchus Tshuva. So the Miri quotes the Ga'inam, and this is interesting, is the only source that we have for this. The ones that wrote the footnotes on the Miri did not find it in the Ga'inam. So the Miri is the only one that we have, the source for this, and he cites the Ga'inam, that there's a difference. There's two ways to do tshuva. There's wholesale tshuva market and the retail tshuva market. In the wholesale tshuva market, it's enough to say chatonu. In the retail tshuva market, you have to specify. That's what the Miri says. So the shayla is a very simple shayla. Listen, if I have, you come to my store and have a wholesale division or a retail division. So who's going to walk into the retail division? Everyone's going to go to the wholesale division. Unless I don't let you in. Right? Some businesses, only if you're in the trade, can you go in the wholesale part. Otherwise, you have to go to the retail. So here you're telling me there's two ways to do tshuva. So everybody should want to enter the wholesale market. Why enter the retail market? The answer is, Chazon Ish writes in Amunah and Bitochon, that in reality, there's one deficiency and one correction that's necessary. That's all. The deficiency is we're not sufficiently mamnach HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon ourselves. That's the deficiency. And the correction is that we commit ourselves more deeply to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's it. That's the name of the whole game. He says the only problem is, so how come the Musa Svarim don't go about it that way? He says because it's a very difficult means to just grab that klal. I'm going to subjugate myself more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and by pure firepower succeed. So it's a lot easier to break it up into details and focus how each part that doesn't function properly, what exactly makes it function, and try to fix them one by one rather than to jump on the principle and the root principle and try to change that. That's much more difficult. So practically speaking, the Balei Musar break it up into little bits and pieces, and we can focus on each bit and piece, you know, each part of the car that doesn't work, we'll fix that. Oh, we'll fix the next. Eventually, the whole car will get fixed. So that's what the Chazon Ish writes. So that's the way on. So that's the difference between wholesale and retail, tshuva klolos and tshuva klolos is a person in one moment sees shivisi so clearly that he's committed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's it. Come what may, you can't move him. But that's a hard thing to achieve. Not so easy. It's a lot easier to say, listen, you know, I have 40 chaton, this one I'll fix, this one up, it doesn't look so promising, let's leave that one over. And, you know, little by little to work at them, to chip away at them, is a lot more effective usually and a lot more accessible. So I understood from that that's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is the tshuva klolos. It's going to the root. What's the root cause of chet? The root cause of chet that I was not sufficiently mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the root cause. So I address that in Rosh Hashanah. How do we address that in Rosh Hashanah? Malchus. To focus on the fact of my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right. He's the Melech and I'm the Eved. He's the Av and I'm the Ben. That's a tikkun of the Yisoid of all Chet. To get into the nitty gritty of it, that we wait to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. You know, to fix all the little parts that need to be fixed, to the Vidui, etc. But Rosh Hashanah is going to the heart of what all our deficiencies are about. That we don't see Shivisi Hashem the Negdi somewhat sufficiently. Then I found I was excited because I found this in the Ksovim of Rechatzke Levenstein Zatzal. Don't ask me now where it is. There's many, many Sfarim. I saw it many years ago. But I bumped into it in one of his Ksovim that this is how we understood Rosh Hashanah. It's the goal. That's what is a Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's just different parts of tshuva on different days. But Rosh Hashanah is dedicated to Malchus and its implications.
So it definitely means that element. homophobic, but it's not really focused on the tshuva protest.
You could use Elul in both ways. But it's interesting that you mention this. In Kelum, they used to hang a sign in the yeshiva, every Elul. The sign Be'erach said the following. What's the ultimate issue of a melech? What's the ultimate catastrophe for a melech? If there's a schism among the citizens of his malchus, so that he's in trouble. The citizenry are divided against itself, so his kingdom is threatened. So he says the first yisoid of a melech is to have the citizens live in harmony with each other. So on Elul they hung a sign in Kelam which said the following, that we're supposed to be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. If we don't get along with each other properly, then how can we possibly be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's deficient in his malchus. So a major avodah of Elul is to figure out how we're going to get along with each other properly. So then we could be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, even the regular Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, not only the Musaf, but there's also a very, very, very special emphasis on Malchus. Let's go back, take a step back for a moment. Talked about Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now, what exactly is this Kabbalah? What are we saying? And I was saying Hashem Elokeinu, today is Hashem Elokeinu, and ultimately it will be Hashem Echad. So I think there are three ways to look at this. There are three ways to look at it. I think Rafulda, from the Yekis, was he right? Rafulda, I think, was his name, if I remember correctly. Rafulda. So he interpreted this Rashi in this fashion. There are certain things that I am so certain that they're true, that I am absolutely certain that ultimately the whole world will embrace it. A person discovered a cure for a disease, he's tested it, and he knows that this is the real deal. So right now we only do it in the Mayo Clinic, but there's no question in 10 years the whole world is going to be doing this. It's a statement of how certain we are of the veracity of something. That's one particular way. Others view Rashi from the standpoint, Rashi says Hashem Echad, that the whole world would recognize him. But how does that connect with Hashem Echad? So they want to say that's part of the Achdus, means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the singular force in the world, is because the whole world embraces him. So that's in fact part of the Achdus, is that everyone perceives it. But I think there's a slightly different way to perceive it too. And that is, the Gro writes that what's the difference between a Moshel and a Melech? Right? The brothers, in fact, said to Yosef, "Hamoloch timloch aleinu, mashol timshol bono." So they're two different ideas. So the Gaon writes the following. The Gaon says a melech means that the populace is acquiesced or requested that the melech be the melech. They want the king to lead. That's a melech. a Moishel. Stalin was a Moishel. He conquered Medinas. He put the Russian army there, and he said, "That's it. I'm boss. You know, if you don't have, you don't like it, we'll put you in Siberia or in the ground." But that's it. He didn't ask for six nations of Eastern Europe to agree to his malchus. That's it. He came, he was powerful, and he's the Melech, and that's it. That's a Moishel. So that's what the brothers said to Yosef. What do you think? A Moloch Timloch Aleinu? You think we're ever going to act worse to make him Melech? And even more so, do you think, well, you have a different Chalaimus and Moshel Timshel Bono? You're going to conquer us? And you rule over us? Malchus is the recognition of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Whether the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is recognized or not, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not less powerful. You have a Tilum Rabbeisa. Let's put the names out. Kapitel Mem Zayin. Say like this. Ki Hashem Elyo Noiro Melech Godol Kol Haaretz. This mizmor, the smaller says, is talking about in the time of Gog u'Magog, when Mashiach's going to come. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has been Elyo Noiro Melech Godol Kol Haaretz. With the advent of Mashiach, will become Melech Godol Kol Haaretz. The whole world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But until now, what has he been? He's been Elyo Noiro Kol Haaretz. Ki Hashem Elyo Noiro. He was, in fact, the ultimate source of everything in the world. Even if the world did not want to recognize that fact, but the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was the ultimate source. But with the advent of Mashiach, it's Melech Godol Kol Haaretz. The whole world would acknowledge that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the monarch. So we could say in Rashi that's also, that's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. For most of the world, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is a Moishel now. He's not a Melech. He is Elyo Noiro. He has all the power. But Hashem Echad, they will come. Olo Moshim Ratzil Lishpa, the voice of Hashem Elucho, by Hashem the Melech HaKolos, by Yom Huyi Hashem Echad, Shema Echad. Then there will be Malchus. The revelation will be manifest in the world. So that's Malchus. Till them is Memsholo. Then comes Malchus. So we talk about that's the Hashem Echad. That's the ultimate step in Malchus. That the revelation was acknowledged. Till now is a Moshe. Elyo Noiro. That'll be Melech HaKol Haaretz, Melech Godol HaKol Haaretz. We have an addition to the Tefillah, a very fascinating addition. In Ata Kodesh, at Yom Narom, we have a Vechein Pachtucho, Vechein Tein Tzadikim. And basically, what do we talk about in that section? That section we talk about that ultimately, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will be recognized. Ultimately, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will be recognized. That's what that section talks about. There's been Memshela Zodon, not Balcha Zodon, Memshela. They imposed themselves upon the world. Right? This is a proclamation of Malchus. And it's particularly fitting for Rosh Hashanah. And we incorporate it in the Yom Kippur davening, because we're being mispalal. Ultimately, what is HaTvila? For the advent of Malchus Hashem. So on Yom Kippur, on the ultimate day of the Din, we're mispalal for Malchus. But this Tvila is essentially a Tvila of Rosh Hashanah. It's a Tvila for Malchus. that which we said, say every day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. V'chein tein pachtos, al kol ma'vimosoch, al kol ma'asher barosoch, v'yiru'ucho kol ma'asoch. This is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So this, Rabbi Yisai, this is the theme of Rosh Hashanah. That's what the avoid of Rosh Hashanah is. The avoid of Rosh Hashanah is to integrate to the extent possible how much the Rabbeinu Shalom is in control of the world around us. And in the age in which we live, it's not so easy to achieve. There were other times in history it was easier. There were times that the society was more religious, a greater recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by everyone. That's one of the significant differences between the Ashkenazi and the Sephardi world. Because there lies the difference between the Western world and the Muslim world. In the Muslim world, there's no such thing as not having a munah. In their societies, if you're not a maimon, you don't belong altogether. Even Arafat, you had to go to the mosque. The Western society are agnostics to a very large extent. So, that's why in the Sephardic people, you find their challenge was not an amunah. By and large, Sephardim are mamina. Whether they're religious or they're not religious, they're tremendous mamina. Their issue is shmiras hamitzvahs. We come in a part of society where there's skepticism. So in our communities, amunah is also an issue. It's not axiomatic. So we come Rosh Hashanah each year to focus on Malchus. A lengthier focus, almost in a way parallel to that which we do on Pesach. The whole year we say the Antiskos Yom Tzeis Kamer Tzrayim Kol Yom Chayecha. Ani Hashem Elokeicha Mesher Otzei Ziyescha. That's it. Eretz Mitzrayim. That's enough. Pesach, we give the full dress rehearsal. All 9 yards. A whole year we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's true. But Rosh Hashanah, we really focus on what all the different aspects of Malchus are. The Shofar is Malchus, the Tefillahs are Malchus. And as I said, in the name of Chatzka Levenstein, the Malchus is the Yisod of the Tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. So this is a little bit of a picture of what the Avod of Rosh Hashanah is. Rabbi said we should all have a Ksiva Chesim HaTayva. Imali Hashem Kol Mish'alos Libeinu L'Tayva.
Amen.